Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Se Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. 18 blacks were murdered in the streets of Chicago in a 24-hour period. In just 24 hours, 18 blacks were murdered by other blacks in Chicago. And as we've mentioned on prior programs, you've had a situation since the 1960s where hundreds of thousands of Americans have been slaughtered by blacks. 14 or 15,000 just in the year 2018, the last year for which we have full and final statistics. And if you go back to the if you go all the way back to the 1960s, blacks have perpetrated a Holocaust in the United States against Americans. And most of the victims of that Holocaust have been their fellow blacks. And yet we hear Black Lives Matter and all of these protests as if black people are facing this tremendous existential threat from the police. The blacks who face a threat from the police are black criminals who are raping, murdering, robbing, and destroying America. Destroying American cities, destroying American neighborhoods, and terrorizing the American people, and have been doing so for many, many years, for many decades. They're the ones who feel threatened by the police, because the police are the only thing that stand between them and complete anarchy. Now, have you ever heard from anyone in the media, including Fox, including the so-called conservative media, the phony right, that blacks have perpetrated a Holocaust in the United States? And by the way, these are not Chaim Ben Pesach statistics. These are not JTF statistics. You can go to the FBI site and look at the official statistics and look at other official statistics of the number of people that are murdered in the United States every year. The vast majority of murderers in America are black males. And look at those statistics, and if you add it up going back to the 1960s, all the people that were murdered, and again, the vast majority murdered by blacks, again, it is no exaggeration to say blacks have perpetrated a Holocaust in this country. A Holocaust against whites, against Latinos, against Jews who have been murdered. Many Jews have been murdered by blacks over the years. And most of all, against their fellow blacks. So all of these demonstrations and riots and looting to protest, what do? They go into stores in their community and steal, which is the fantasy of most black people, being able to steal, even though everything they get is for free anyway. Their welfare checks are paid for by hardworking taxpayers. They get food stamps to pay for their food. They get that for free. They live in public housing, all paid for by the taxpayers. And even the ones that get jobs don't really work and get jobs solely because of their race. They're certainly unqualified. They have low IQs and low test standards, and yet they get jobs solely because of their race. Now, I am going to say that there are exceptions to this rule. We're speaking about most blacks. There are exceptions to the rule. But you know, we have a saying in Hebrew, Hayotze min haklal me'id al haklal, which means the exception to the rule attests to the rule, proves the rule. The fact that we're so amazed if we see a black person who's intelligent, or if we see a black person who's successful, and I mean truly successful, not affirmative action successful, because being successful because you get, because you're affirmative action, because you use race to push ahead of other people who are smarter than you, better than you, more experienced than you, that's not really success. That's phony success, artificial success. But I'm talking about truly successful black people and truly intelligent black people who do, of course they do exist, and truly decent black people, and there are exceptions to the rule, there are some that exist. They are the exceptions. But they attest to the rule. They prove the rule that the vast majority are not like that. Most black males in this country have criminal records. Most black males in this country, before they die, will do time in the prison system. Now, I've had a couple of stupid people writing in response to these videos, but you were in prison and you had to do... I was in prison for a just cause, fighting to save Soviet Jewry. I was in prison fighting for something noble. To compare that to rapists and murderers and criminals and lowlife scum, who murder and massacre their own brothers and sisters, who murder and massacre their own children. Hundreds of thousands are arrested for drug dealing, selling poison to their own children and their own communities, destroying their own communities, causing blight and destruction and a torturous, horrifying death, because drug addicts are not alive. Drug addicts are breathing, but they have no life anymore. They're completely controlled by the drug demon. Their life has become a complete nightmare. And the overwhelming majority of drug addicts are drug addicts because of drug dealers who are black. Black drug dealers selling to blacks in their own community, poison to their own community. A drug dealer is like a mass murderer. And George Floyd was a drug dealer. He was a coke dealer. He was a cocaine dealer. And he did at least 3 prison sentences. They were short sentences because of the stupid, insane leniency toward these murderers who sell poison. People sell... Drug dealers who sell poison should be executed. A drug dealer should be executed. And these drug dealers, and I'm talking about drugs like cocaine and heroin and crack and methamphetamines. People who sell these deadly drugs, all drugs are bad, including, by the way, all narcotics that are used for recreational purposes, including marijuana, are all bad for you. They're all bad for you. But people who sell the super deadly drugs, they should be executed, because they're like, that's like mass murder. That's like mass murder for profit. You're killing everybody that you're selling drugs to. They're just dying slowly. They're dying. They're the living dead. Drug addicts are the living dead. They don't have a life. All they think about is their next fix all the time. That's their whole life. That's the main interest in their life. And blacks have done this to themselves, but they must blame whitey. They can't stand looking in the mirror and honestly facing who they are, what they are, and what they've done to their own people. It's what they've done to their own people that has made their own community such a nightmare. It's what they've done to their own people. And nowhere in history has so much money been spent and so much effort been exercised and so many trillions of dollars wasted to uplift the community as with blacks in America. Nowhere in human history have we ever seen an effort like this. So much transfer of wealth, so many jobs given to unqualified people because of affirmative action, so many college scholarships given to morons who can't even read their own high school diploma and they're going to Yale and Harvard and Princeton, Ivy League colleges, which used to be places where 75% of the students were Jewish. 1% of American youth were Jewish, and 75% of the students there were Jewish, because Jews are a nation of geniuses. There are exceptions to the rule there too. But God chose the Jewish people. Here they are, the chosen people. And they are supposed to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, nation of priests. They're not fulfilling that mission, because in this generation, we have a generation that's evil. But the Jews were given unbelievable talent, way beyond the talent of other people. Way beyond. That's just the fact of life. 1% of American youth were Jewish. And there were 75% of the students in Ivy League colleges when all quotas were eliminated. They used to have numerus clausus. They used to have a quota system against Jews in this country even before World War II. They had a quota system in Europe because they knew that if you have truly fair tests and truly fair standards, the Jews are going to excel and they're going to absolutely overwhelm every high-level educational institution, anything that involves a great deal of thinking or intellect or talent. The Jews are going to overwhelm it. The Jews did control Hollywood. The Jews were Hollywood. The great, magnificent movies of the 1920s and 1930s and 1940s and 1950s that were great movies, the vast majority of them were created by Jewish-owned Hollywood studios and Jewish directors and Jewish producers, and half the actors were Jewish. Again, in a country where only 1% of the population is Jewish. I mean, what talent! And they were taken out, and then you had subhuman morons like Spike Lee and all these other, they became Hollywood producers and directors, and they'd be doing movies, and now we have garbage vermin controlling the movies. But when the Jews did run Hollywood, and when Jewish brains were in charge, you had the most brilliant creations in human history. So those old movies from the 30s, 40s, and 50s are brilliant, are fantastic. And yes, they were overwhelmingly Jewish. They were created by Jews, written by the vast majority, created by Jews, written by Jews, directed by Jews. The technology was Jewish created, everything. And so you had a situation where Yale, Harvard, Princeton, and I remember going back in the 70s. I remember when our beloved leader, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, when he went to speak at Yale Law School, he was invited to speak at Yale Law School. Almost all the students, this was in the 70s, almost all the students were Jewish. Almost all the students, like 90% plus of the students were Jewish. And these were 17, 18, 19-year-old Jews. And I went with I used to accompany the rabbi sometimes when he would go on his speaking dates. I was the national chairman of the Jewish Defense League, of the JDL. And when I accompanied him in the 70s, this is even before I was the national chairman of the JDL, but I used to accompany him sometimes. And in Yale Law School, I mean, these Jewish kids were geniuses. Now, unfortunately, they were immoral, they were evil. They ended up assimilating, intermarrying, and screwing their own people. Because you could be brilliant and evil. And the Jews are either righteous or evil. I mean, they choose either to be very righteous or very evil. And unfortunately, when they choose to assimilate and intermarry and want to ape all of the other countries and all the other peoples and all the other cultures, they become evil. But the truth is, they were still brilliant. And I remember seeing these Jewish kids, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, just out of memory, quoting all of these different cases back and forth and history and facts and information and when they were asking questions of our brilliant rabbi, and our rabbi, of course, Rabbi Kahana was a genius, and asking questions and back and forth, and they were brilliant, brilliant. These were teenagers, brilliant. And now we have in these same in Ivy League universities, you get blacks and Arabs and Muslims and other creatures that are admitted there who are morons. And I'm not saying all blacks or Arabs or others that go there are morons. There may be exceptions to the rule, but the vast majority are getting in there solely because of their race or their ethnicity. And are morons, okay? You have black professors with Mickey Mouse made-up courses on black history, black unemployment, the black urban experience, and black. You have them, okay, in Harvard and Princeton and Yale and all these other Ivy League colleges teaching courses, and they are morons, and they become professors. I'll never forget, I was traveling on the subway one time and was reading a Hebrew newspaper, an Israeli newspaper. And There was this black professor at Columbia University. You know what Columbia University used to be like? Columbia University with the Jewish kids that were in Columbia University? A lot of them were commies. A lot of the Jewish kids were commies and, you know, and did terrible things, but they were geniuses. Geniuses! And you had this black, but I'm going there way after this, in the 1990s. I'm going there, I'm reading a Hebrew newspaper. And it might have been the 80s. No, this was in the... this was in the early 90s. And I'm sitting on the subway, and I'm reading the newspaper, and I happen to be in the neighborhood of Columbia University. Columbia University is in uptown Manhattan in New York City. And this black professor is there with all of the students surrounding him, and they're all looking up to him. White students and Jewish students, and Jewish students who come from, who are smart kids. And they're looking up to this guy who's been called a professor. And he's a black guy, he's called a professor. And he looks at my newspaper, he looks across at me at the newspaper that I'm reading. He sees the Hebrew characters and he says, "You don't look Chinese. You're reading a Chinese newspaper, you don't look Chinese." He thought it was Chinese. He thought Hebrew characters are Chinese. He didn't know the difference between Chinese characters and Hebrew characters. This is a professor at Columbia University. Do you know what Jewish professors at Columbia University, you know what their intelligence level was? Do you have any idea what type of brain power this country once had in these Ivy League colleges? Now it's being smothered. Jews are not allowed to go there anymore. Jews, through quotas, now have been pushed out of all those positions. And the Jews are the ones that led the campaign to push their own people out and say, no, we have to put in blacks and we have to... past injustices. We always talk about past injustices. They talk about past injustices. Look at the injustice that was done to the Jewish people over the years. That never bothers them. During the Holocaust, that didn't bother them. What bothered them was that blacks were not allowed to drink out of water fountains in the South, or go to restrooms in the South, or sit in the front of the bus. That's what was bothering them. And they gave their lives fighting for blacks. And they literally devoted their whole lives to that cause. What they never did for their fellow Jews. Over 6 million of their fellow Jews were burned and gassed in the worst crime in human history. And what they never did for their fellow Jews, they did for these black Jew haters. And the blacks responded by becoming the worst Jew haters in America. No group in America hates Jews more than the blacks. And again, no people in history has ever had as much done for them as what the Jews did for blacks. And no country has ever done as much for any people as what America has done for blacks. Trillions of dollars poured down the drain in trying to uplift them. And so this is where we've come to as a country and as a society. This is where we've come to. And now, in a short time, another little bit more than half a year, we may have a left-wing Democrat in the White House, Joe Biden, a senile, evil, anti-Semitic left-wing Democrat. And we Jews better be worried about that. Because all these riots and all these protests, the rioters, by the way, are attacking Jewish institutions. Because they say Jews created slavery. They blame the Jews for slavery. Can you imagine? The Jews are the one group that always fought for them, that always defended them. And they blame the Jews for all of their problems. They never blame themselves. The fact that over 80% of black babies are illegitimate, that the black fathers abandon over 80% of their own babies, that they don't blame. That's not the cause. The fact that hundreds of thousands of blacks have been slaughtered by their fellow blacks, that's not the problem. The Jews are the problem. The Jews who gave them everything they have, who fought for them and did everything for them and continue to fight for them. Schmuck Schumer and all these other self-hating scum, self-hating Jews continue to do everything they can to help them. Bernie Sanders. It's a scum of the earth, these self-hating Jews. And the blacks continue to say the Jews are the ones who are responsible for their problem. Black rappers keep making anti-Semitic, they make anti-Semitic so-called rap. It's not music. It's jungle rant by ignorant gorillas in a jungle. It's an insult to gorillas, by the way, to refer to them as gorillas. And they make all of these anti-Semitic attacks on the Jews. And now we're facing the danger of Joe Biden. He's going to pick, he's probably going to pick some black anti-Semite as his running mate also. There's a good chance that that's going to happen. What a disaster we're going to have in this country. What a disaster this country is headed for. Not that Donald Trump is doing a good job. He's doing a terrible job. And let me just say to all the people who are upset with us because we supported Ted Cruz over Donald Trump for the Republican nomination for president in 2016, and then we continue to criticize Trump. And we're supporting Trump for re-election. We're supporting him. We don't have a choice. I'm pessimistic about his chances. I think right now it looks like he's probably going to lose. But we're supporting him for re-election because the alternative is worse. Having said that, Ted Cruz would have been a strong leader at a time like this, at a time of crisis. And you can be, you know, you can be immensely popular if you're president in a time of crisis because the country wants to rally around you. The country wants a strong leader they can believe in. The country desperately wants to get out of a bad situation that may exist. And Ted Cruz would have been that type of leader. Like Rudy Giuliani, for instance, after 9/11 in New York City. Rudy Giuliani was hated by the news media. He was called a racist. There were huge demonstrations that Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all the black Nazis led against him. I mean, very unpopular on the left. Very unpopular. New York's a very left-wing city. And yet, 9/11, Rudy Giuliani projected such strength. He was in command of what was going on. He knew all the details, and he ran things well, and he projected strength, and he was overwhelmingly popular even in a left-wing city like New York City. Even a moron like George W. Bush, who was a complete moron, even George W. Bush, a brainless imbecile like him, and 9/11, he projected a certain image, and he had 90% approval ratings. George W. Bush had 90% approval ratings after 9/11. He projected an image, at least he projected an image that he knew basically what was going on. And of course, his policies were terrible. He attacked Iraq instead of attacking Iran, which was the real problem. If he had destroyed Iran's nuclear bomb-making program at that time, it would have solved a lot of problems in the world. I mean, just everything he did was terrible. He attacked the wrong country. He invaded the country and occupied Iraq, which was terrible. The United States should never invade and occupy Muslim countries. Never. Should never expose American soldiers to danger by occupying a Muslim country. If you have a threat, a nuclear threat from Iran, which is a very serious nuclear threat of a nuclear holocaust, you send in the U.S. Air Force, and from the air, they can destroy the Iranian nuclear program. Easily. Easily. Within one day, they can destroy the program without losing a single soldier. As Israel has done, as Israel did with Iraq's nuclear bomb-making program in 1981, as Israel did with Syria's nuclear bomb-making program in 2006, as the United States did with Saddam Hussein's program in the Persian Gulf War in 1991. The Persian Gulf War, the United States did not lose a single soldier or a single pilot destroying Iraq's nuclear bomb-making program in 1991. In the Persian Gulf War. Not a single American life was lost because the Americans destroyed it from the air. Then they decided to go in and do other crazy things, you know. That you don't do. But anyway, his policies were terrible, but still he projected an image, a certain image, because he had at least basic discipline and at least an ounce of ability to project some intelligence. Even though his policies were not intelligent, but he projected it. And so George W. Bush was very popular. George W. Bush was reelected in 2004 because of 9/11. And so, I mean, I'll give you another. I could give you so many examples. I could go on and give you many other examples. In a time of crisis, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, that Nazi pig who was responsible for the murder of 6 million Jews. Nevertheless, when World War II came, he was immensely popular. When during the Depression deepened and got worse under him, and the unemployment rate went higher, and his policies were terrible. He was a terrible, evil, nasty, vile leader. And yet, throughout the 1930s, he had tremendous popularity, overwhelming popularity. He was reelected. He was elected and reelected four times. At that time, you didn't have a two-term limit. And he was elected and reelected 4 times. He was immensely popular. In a time of crisis, if you have a leader who knows how to project the ability to run things and do things, that's how Netanyahu gets reelected all the time in Israel, even though Netanyahu is a disastrous leader with disastrous policies, but because he knows how to speak and because he knows how to project himself, he's able to win over the majority of his, of stupid Israelis, even though he's worse, by the way. He's actually worse than even the left-wing opposition. He's actually worse. But having said that, because the phony left in Israel, because the real left in Israel, the actual left in Israel, cannot carry out the policies that the phony right can carry out. The phony right is able to carry out policies that the left would like to carry out but are unable to. And so most of the retreats and surrenders of Jewish land in the land of Israel took place under phony right governments, under Likud governments, not under left-wing governments. But moving aside from that, again, look at the difference between leaders like Giuliani after 9/11, Giuliani when he brought down the crime rate in New York City and was called a racist, and there were demonstrations and protests and they called him everything under the sun, and they were rallying at his Gracie Mansion, thousands of blacks screaming and yelling, and still he remained popular and was reelected in New York City even. And Ronald Reagan during periods of crisis, how popular he was, and George W. Bush, a complete moron after 9/11, very popular. Look at the difference between that and Donald Trump. Donald Trump, who says that we should put turpentine, or I don't know what he was saying, inject poison into our veins in order to fight the coronavirus. Yeah, that'll kill off the coronavirus, also kill us. I mean, just the stupidity of this orange clown. He projects the opposite. People got to see him on a daily basis at those daily briefings, and they saw what a jerk he is. He can't project confidence because he's a lazy ignoramus who doesn't even know what's going on around him. Now, it's true that he's a genius compared to Joe Biden. That's true. Joe Biden is senile. And he's actually eloquent compared to Joe Biden. But that doesn't change the fact that in a time of crisis, if you have a leader that doesn't project confidence, if you have a leader that seems to be in over his head and seems to be things seem to be spinning out of control, you're not going to get the support you need from the public. It's just not going to happen. Ted Cruz is a strong leader. Ted Cruz is a great speaker, very disciplined, a genius. One of the most brilliant. This is a Latino, Cuban American. He's half Cuban, half one quarter Italian and one quarter Irish. His mother was half Irish, half Italian, and his father's Cuban. Ted Cruz, a genius, was the most brilliant student. Alan Dershowitz said that he was one of the most brilliant students he ever had, and Dershowitz had a lot of brilliant Jewish students. And Cruz was up against all these brilliant Ivy League Jewish geniuses. And Cruz easily was as good as them, if not better. He's a genius. You imagine Cruz being in charge at a time like this? And Cruz is not just... See, Trump is a bluff. He's all talk. He's going to do this. He's going to stop the protests. He's going to stop the demonstrations, the riots. And meanwhile, it's all talk. He doesn't do it. Cruz would have done it. Cruz would have stepped in and put an end to this. No matter how much they protest, no matter how much they scream and yell, he would have restored law and order in the streets of America. And the American people would have appreciated that. And Cruz would have handled this crisis intelligently. I mean, look at the tremendous approval ratings for someone like Andrew Cuomo, who he and his family destroyed New York State. And yet he has tremendous approval ratings at a time when over 300,000 New Yorkers became ill with the coronavirus, and he mishandled everything, and he killed thousands of elderly people by forcing nursing homes to accept coronavirus sick patients, forcing them to take in coronavirus sick patients who then infected everyone in the nursing homes. All of these thousands of people, their blood is on the hands of Andrew Cuomo, and the worst governor, the worst. And yet, because he's a good speaker and because he projects himself as a strong leader, he's very popular. Ted Cruz would project himself well, and his policies would have been good. He would have, by the way, he wouldn't have just gotten out of the Iran nuclear deal like Trump did, that wimp. he would have destroyed militarily, in one day he would have destroyed Iran's nuclear bomb making program and saved the world from terrible tragedy. That's why we supported Ted Cruz, and you're going to see how right we were. Someday you'll see how right we were. But in any event, we have a tough fight ahead of us. We have an uphill battle in November. I think Joe Biden is genuinely running way ahead of Donald Trump in the polls. But the Fox polls and the so-called conservative Republican polls all show Biden running ahead of Trump. And I'm talking about, when I say ahead, I'm talking about 7, 8, 10 points ahead. That's a substantial lead. Every single national poll shows Biden with a lead. Every poll. No exceptions. Every poll shows Biden winning easily. I mean, for you to rely on 2016 and say, well, the polls were off in 2016. They weren't that off in 2016. They said that Hillary was going to narrowly defeat Donald Trump, and she did with a popular vote, so they weren't that off. But for you to rely on that and say, we're okay, don't worry, the polls, 2016, the polls were wrong, you created this great mythology that the polls were so wrong in 2016. They were not so wrong. But you created this great mythology that the polls were so tremendously wrong. Not true, but you want to believe that. And so you don't care that those polls now are showing you that Biden is going to beat the living daylights out of the orange clown Donald Trump. And you don't want to accept it. And we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. Because Biden's policies of open borders, of allowing the black hate-mongering extremists, because there is no one in America more hateful. The most racist people in America are blacks. Blacks are the most racist people in this country. And Joe Biden wants to hand the whole country over to them. And he'll do it. And he'll do it, God forbid. I mean, we are in a tremendous amount of trouble. And not only that, he will groom his new vice president to take over. And with the country at a tipping point demographically, America is at a tipping point where America's ready to go majority non-white soon. You're soon going to have a non-white majority in the country. Then there's no way you're going to have elect someone like Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or any Republican. There's no way you'll get that. You'll be able to do that. All of America will become like New York or California, where Republicans don't stand a chance of getting elected dog catcher. You're going to have that situation throughout the whole country soon. And Joe Biden will speed that process up if he's elected. So, and as far as Israel is concerned, Biden and the people that he wants as his running mates and the people he would pick as Secretary of State and so on, just terrible for Israel, very dangerous for Israel. They will pressure Israel to commit suicide. They will also re-enter the Iran nuclear bomb-making deal, which enables Iran to build nuclear bombs. The danger to Israel and the danger to the Jewish people is tremendous from a Biden presidency. So we face enormous threats, and the country is facing chaos, and we have a weak, ignorant leader who doesn't know what he's doing, but we have to support him anyway because he's better than the other guy. It's a bad, bad situation. Bad situation. If you don't see that, that's not a difference of opinion with us. You're blind. If you don't realize we're in a lot of trouble, you're blind. JTF wants to wake people up. We're going to try to do it the best we can. You know, we have a Hebrew video campaign where we have 5 Hebrew videos now that are part of an advertising campaign, which receive many thousands of views. We've gotten hundreds of thousands of views in the past year. Hundreds of thousands of people have seen our videos because of our advertising campaign. So we're reaching the people of Israel with a certain message. We're trying our best to wake the Jews of Israel up, which is the most important thing we could do. And with these programs, we're going to try our best to do whatever we can to contribute to waking up the American people as best we can. We're going to do what we can. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to stand for the truth. The whole truth. We're going to stand for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Something black defendants never utter in a court of law. But anyway, and I know that I've been, you know, talking a lot about blacks because that's all you see now. Okay, they're supposedly the victims and they're supposedly the wonderful people and they're the lowest, the lowest, the lowest. George Floyd took a gun and with four other blacks pushed his way into a pregnant woman's apartment. A pregnant woman by herself in her apartment, shoved his way into her apartment. And assaulted her stomach with the gun. Used the gun to assault her stomach, to push the gun into her stomach and assault her with the gun while she was pregnant. This is a cruel, evil, vicious, vile culture of people who are who destroy their own neighborhoods and their own communities. And if this is what they do to each other, you can imagine what they would like to do to the rest of us if they ever had the chance. And they're taking over. They're the future. That's the future. You see it all the time. You see the future. White people are not even allowed to disagree. If a white person even just disagrees and expresses a different opinion, they're automatically fired from their jobs. They're automatically blacklisted. You know, all the commies and all the leftists always said, McCarthyism, McCarthyism, because during the Joe McCarthy era, communists were fired from their jobs justifiably. Justifiably were fired from their jobs. And now they have a McCarthyism where they're firing and attacking and destroying the lives of anyone who does not support their extreme left agenda. That's their goal. Their goal is to throw Trump out of the White House, put Joe Biden and probably a black vice president in the White House, have a complete takeover of the country by the left, turn all of America into what we see in New York and in California, the nightmare in New York and California, make that national so that the whole country becomes like New York and California, demographically and otherwise, majority non-white, just nightmares. And create a situation. You know what they really want? Why do they want to defund the police? Create a situation where blacks will be permitted to go out and murder and rape and drug deal and rob and commit every atrocity under the sun, and nobody will be allowed to touch them. They will have complete immunity and go out and be able to do whatever they want and then scream racism, and they get off the hook and they steal and rob, and this country becomes one big jungle. That's their real goal. Defund the police, and it's racist, and release all the black criminals from prison, and warehousing black people in prison, and all the other mythology. That's the real goal. That's the future of this country, unless people wake up, and unless people wake up fast. And when I say people wake up, remember one other thing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. Any movement or any leaders that are anti-Semitic are a curse. Any movement that works to solve this problem has to be pro-Israel and pro-Jewish. Otherwise, God will see to it that America is destroyed. That's a promise from the Bible. If you believe in the Bible, if you don't believe in the Bible, then just ignore it. But if you believe in the Bible and you believe in God, that is what God vows over and over again. It's a lesson of history over and over again. And that's something only JTF does. Exposes what's happening as far as the black rioting and hate mongering and anti-Semitism, and does it with a pro-Jewish program. JTF is the only game in town when it comes to that. So that's where we stand. And just remember one last thing that we say frequently on these at the end of these programs: the good guys are going to win in the end. The good guys, meaning Jews and righteous Gentiles, they're going to win in the end. That's something all the prophets promise us. Everything the prophets say has come true. The Jews return to Israel after 2,000 years of exile. The Jews, outnumbered 100-1, win wars in just 6 days, the most spectacular, breathtaking victories since the days of the Bible. Everything the prophets promised us has always come true and will always come true. And the rest is going to be fulfilled as well. In the end, the good guys will win. The question is, will we get through this period? Will we and our loved ones and our family and the people we care about, will we get through this period to see those good good victories that we want to see in the end? That's the question. And that's why JTF is here, to try to wake people up, to try to get us through this and try to wake people up so there won't be unnecessary suffering and unnecessary disaster until that final victory comes, which could be, you know, when the final redemption comes, that could be 100 years from now, 200 years from now, who knows? But it's coming. I mean, we're not 1,000 years away, because the Jews returning to the land of Israel is a sure sign that it is coming, and we're in the end days. The end days could mean another 100 years, another 200 years, but it's not going to be much more than that. It could also be another 10 years. If people wake up, it could be another 10 years. And what a glorious situation that would be. What a wonderful world that would create. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. And we can change history. We can do it if we work together. For JTF Until Next Week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.